You're listening to Radio Kol Hanishma, your only Jewish radio station in Southern California. Please visit us on the net at www.ateretisrael.org.
Shvat Parashat Emor, because Parashat Emor starts, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el Kohanim, Bnei Aharon v'amarta alehim. The Midrash wonders because it says, Emor ve'amarta, to tell him, and then it repeats. So Midrash brings that when Moshe Baruch Shalom was called up to Shamayim, so Ribono Shel Olam showed him a DVD. So he showed them what exactly is going to take place in later generations till 2022. All the leaders, all the Batei Knesiot, everything, you know, he showed. So now, what was presented to him about Shaul HaMelech Alav Shalom. Then all of a sudden, Moshe Baruch Shalom sees that Shaul HaMelech Alav Shalom is only going to be a king for 1 year. So his kingdom now was canceled. So he was very surprise, how could it be? The first Melech, the first king of Am Yisrael, you know, was shortly, there was canceled. So then Midrash says that when Moshe asked Ribono Shel Olam why such a thing has happened to Shaul, so Ribono Shel Olam answered, Emor el Kohanim. So that means the Midrash says, the reason that he says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe emor el Kohanim v'amarta aleihem, this is actually the dialogue that went on between Hashem and Moshe. So emor el Kohanim. So what is that supposed to mean? So now here the Midrash also explains that this parasha is attached to a special forbidden law. In last week, Parashat Kedoshim is attached to it. That talks about the Ov and Yideonim. What is Ov and Yideonim? It's a type of sorcery that you can contact with the Neshamot that they left this world. That you can have a contact with them through put a bone under your arm, or there's a special animal, chaya, it's called yideo. The mechashef, the one that does the sorcery, puts this bone into his mouth, and then the deceased speaks through his mouth. So now the Midrash says, why this forbidden act is attached to Parashat Emor? So, Midrash brings from Masechet Berachot that Shaul HaMelech Alav Shalom, when he was resigned by Shemuel HaNavi, so then he didn't know what to do, because there was a milhamah, there was a war that just about to take place, and the enemies, they were attacking Israel, so he didn't know what to do. So he went with to his officers, he went to a lady as the Torah forbids and mentions mechashefa lo techayi. This is in a feminine form. This is a mechashef, it's a mechashefa that has to be decreed to death. It's not that the one that is male that is occupied with this matter they don't punish him, but the Torah says usually the ladies are involved with this matter. The ladies like to do this. Like they say in England or India, all these ladies, they involved with this type of sorcery. So went to this lady, and then Shalom Aleichem Shalom asked this lady to bring Shemuel HaNavi that appointed Shaul as a king to bring him down to ask him what he should do.
He passed away.
So now, there's an interesting point that Gemara brings, that the one brings him down, he can see him, he cannot hear him. The one that is asked to bring him down, he cannot see, he can hear. It's a very interesting process. So now, here the lady says that Shemuel is here. It says, Ra'iti Elokim. He says, I see two people.
And he couldn't hear him.
Who?
The lady.
Right. The lady couldn't hear him, but Shemuel Navi, was having a conversation with him. So now here, Gemara says a very interesting point. So when he's talking to Shemuel HaNavi, so he mentions that, what a trouble you're at. And he says, I'm desperate, I don't know what to do. And he mentions everything that he tried to do except Urim and Tumim. He doesn't say anything because the procedure here is, when Am Yisrael, they have to go to the war, they go to the Kohen Gadol, and then they ask Urim and Tumim. So then the Urim and Tumim, lights up the stone, and then they tell them what to do. But Shaul HaMelech doesn't say anything about the Urim and Tumim.
So you had a dispute with the Kohen?
Well, we'll see. So Shemuel HaNavi tells Shaul HaMelech of Shalom, tomorrow you and your two kids will be with me. So now, there's an interesting point that Gemara says, when the lady mentions, Ra'iti Elokim, I see two people, two neshamot. Gemara says, when the lady asks for the soul after Shemuel HaNavi, Shemuel HaNavi start getting worried, scared, because he didn't know what's going on, because all of a sudden, he's called to come down. Sorry? So now, he felt the neshama of Shemuel HaNavi, the prophet, he felt that he's called to the Beit Din. So he goes and asks Moshe Ben Alav Shalom to come and back him up, to give him, to support him. So now here, one point, the Gemara is teaching that Shemuel Alav Shalom, at age of 3, he was a prophet. 3 years old. He had prophecy. As we know the story after Eli, Kohen, and so on. So now here, when he feels that he's caught, and he don't know what it is, he gets scared. He says, "Oi, bye-bye! What I'm going to do?" So he goes and asks Moshe Ben Alav Shalom to come, put a good word for him, because he was scared. He said, "Oi, bye-bye! What are we going to do?" If Shemuel HaNavi, that, as you know, Hana, Alah Shalom, what age she had Shemuel HaNavi Alav Shalom? You know what age she was?
100-something.
Tazik HaBaruch, beautiful, very nice. Very nice. You know how old?
80-something.
Beautiful. Hazak Baruch. Yes, she was 130 years old. Yeah, Hana, Alah Shalom, had Shemuel HaNavi at age of 130 years old. So now here, a very interesting point. How could it be that Shemuel HaNavi is telling Shaul, tomorrow you're going to be with me? What does it mean? That means you're Sadiq. Yeah, he's Sadiq.
Huh?
Yeah, Allah, dying is something else. But when he says you're going to be with me, that means the same place that I'm at, you're going to be with me. So Now the Gemara says, you know, why Shaul HaMelech, Alav Shalom, didn't mention anything about Urim V'Tumim, right? Because that goes back to the first Midrash we explained. When Hashem and Moshe, they had this conversation, that Moshe was wondering, why such a thing should happen to Shaul HaMelech, Shalom? And you know, Shaul was from Shevet Binyamin. And the reason that the Shaul became the Melech from tribe of Binyamin was?
Because he was
Sadiq. No. No, the Melech is from Yehuda. Lo, Yasur, Shemet mi Yehuda. The king is from Shemet Yehuda. Why Binyamin should have a descendant to become a king? Who? No, that was after he became a king. And the reason is, the only one that did not bow down to Esau was?
Binyamin
HaTzadik. So because Binyamin did not bow down to Esau, so he had a zechut and you have a descendant to become a king. So now here, when Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom, Emor HaKohanim, you know why his kingdom didn't last? Because there's a Ketrug. You know what the Gezerah is in Shamayim because of the Kohanim. So what was the story? The story was when David Emor HaShalom was running away from Shaul, he went to city of the Nob. And they gave him a little bit of dry bread. So now Doeg, that was the officer of David Shalom, reports David that went to city of the north. So Shalom Shalom sends people and they kill 85 Kohane, city of the north. So now here the Midrash says, Shabbat Shalom was very surprised, shocked. How could it be such a thing? So here the Pasuk says, Emer HaKohanim, you know why the Malchut of Shaul did not last? Because the hatred that he had toward Emer HaShalom, and he listened to Doeg Hadomi, and he killed 85 Kohaneinu. And that's why his malchut was cut off. So now, here, you're awake so far? Semi or a little bit?
No,
it's okay. You're following so far? Yes? So now, here, the whole point of the beautiful midrash is here. We see Shmuel HaShalom commanded Shaul to go and wipe off Amalek. Right?
Yes.
That was the command was given to Shaul. So what did he do?
He did not.
He did not?
No.
Why?
He brought the animals back.
And?
He killed the cow.
And?
Was inside of one of the animals.
No, what did he do? Ladies he killed?
No.
He killed the ladies?
No.
He didn't kill the ladies.
He
didn't kill them. So now here, we have a Melech. We see here, he is so affectionate. He has such a pity. He's so Rahman. Even Amalek, he cannot let himself to wipe him out. So now here we see, he sends people to wipe out Kohanim. What's going on here? Here, you are so gentle. Your heart doesn't permit. You're so merciful. Then here, you wipe out your own people. How could?
Because he became personal with the Kohanim.
What's that mean?
Because he helped them.
I understand. But how could you have this type of double character? In one point, you're so merciful. In the other way, no, what is this? How can you kill 85 Kohanim?
He was thinking that this is the right thing to do. They went against me, so I...
The prophet is telling you that Hashem has commanded you to wipe up the Amalekim.
He used his own logic. That's the whole
problem. Are you justified?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Here it is. Kal HaKadosh is teaching us that there is no difference between us and what Shaul HaMelech Alav Shalom did. That means, in one hand, we can be so merciful. You know, you see a poor person outside, and then, you know, you say, there's a homeless. You take $10 out, you give him. So then, your brother tells you something, Hashem Yerachem. You know, you cannot take it. You go all the way. You do whatever, you know. What do you mean? What are you? You merciful or you're a warrior? Which one you are? How could it be? How can you have double personality? How can you give tzedakah that you are kind and then you talk terrible to other people? You do terrible things. How could it be such a thing? And the answer here is, that's what our nature is all about. When I want to be merciful, I want to be kind, I want to be polite, I want to be gentle. Like people at work, you see the customer walks in, and then how do they react to the customer? What do they say? Boker Tov, good morning, you look so great. Welcome, come again. You go home, Hashem Yerachem. Where was this nice person? Where was he? And that's why Yibono Sholam told Moshe Abraham Shalom, here, Emola Kohanim, see what he did to the Kohanim. Shaul HaMelech. And the other hand, no, I was not able to do it. No, I couldn't. But how could you be in one way such a nice character and the other way so destructive and vicious? Vicious. How could it be such a thing? And we see here our nature and our character is mixed up. Mixed up. You have a cholent. What do you pick?
What do you like?
And that's what all exactly are we are. So that means.
Hashem made us from
the, yes, but the point of matter here is, you feel, if I want to be nice, I'll be nice. If I want to be vicious, I'll be vicious. But that's not how it works. The viciousness is not planted in our system to be destructive. You can be vicious to your Sahara. You can be vicious to something that you're not supposed to do. Something that you're not supposed to look. Be vicious to that. Not too vicious to people. But here what we do, we become vicious to people and kind to ourselves. That means we misuse the quality that we have. And here that's what exactly happened to Shaul HaMelech Alav Shalom. That here we see from the busha that he had, from the embarrassment, the shame that he had, when the neshama of Shemuel HaMelech Shalom came down, he was not able to say, I went to order to me. Why? What could you say? And that's what happens. La'atir lavo. Bar Shem Tov HaKadosh in the parasha says, Ayin tachat ayin, shen tachat shen, ve'ber tachat ragim. We don't do that such a thing. We don't do such a thing. You take somebody else's eye out?
No.
We don't do this. But what does it say in the Torah? What is that supposed to mean?
Monitor, pay.
Yeah, so you could say only, okay, we have to pay money. Fine. Yes. But that's not what you wrote here. You say, Shen tahat Shen. Ayin tahat Ayin. Rabbeinu Bar Shem Tov HaKadosh. If it was not Monday, I was not able to even to tell you. The only reason I'm telling you is because it's Monday.
We have time on Monday.
Rabbeinu Barshem HaKadosh says in Olam Elyon, they're going to give you Ayin, exactly the Ayin, the eye that you use here. Ayin Tachat Ayin.
Exactly, they have the history of your eye. What did he look? What did he look at? What did he stare at?
So that means that Ayin that you use in this Olam, then it's not suitable for the Ayin in Olam Elyon. That means you're not able, Chas v'Shalom, to be able to see.
Because the Ayin that you use here, the regal you use to hear, the Shem that you used to hear, if it was not used, the Shem Shamayim, then all the limbs that you, Chas v'Shalom, commit the Averame, paralyzed. It's not usable anymore. That means Ayin Tachat Ayin actually is exactly Midah Keneged Midah. The way you use it, they're going to give you the same exact Ayin in Shamayim. The same Regel in Shamayim. The same Yad in Shamayim. The way you use it, that's the limbs that you're going to receive.
Oh, boy, you see, I cannot walk. I cannot see. I cannot move. Why?
Because you move too much here. Your head now turned around too much.
So they're going to tell you, because your head and eye turn around too much. Chaste shode dige, you know. He saw too much. So you don't need to see anymore. Chas v'shalom. And that's what exactly we see. That the quality that we have, you have to be careful how to use it. You said the Shem Shammai. And Niske, Shabbat Hashem, Rosh Baruch Hu, Nishach Tanur Ruach Tahara, and Bezal Hashem, Niske V'Yeshua, and Bezal Tov.
You're listening to Radio Kol HaNishama, your only Jewish radio station in Southern California. Please visit us on the net at www.ateretisrael.org.